Next on BYUSN, Cougar football's a 20.5 point favorite against Stanford this weekend. Is that fair, or is that too much to ask from the Cougars? What are the top Cougars in the NFL storylines heading into the season that starts today in the NFL? From Puka Nacua to Andy Reid, we'll discuss our top five storylines. Former BYU and NFL linebacker Brady Papinga breaks down his expectations for the Cougars and Cardinal. And receiver Cody Hagan details his tornado TD against Portland State and looks ahead to Saturday's game against Stanford.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, as always, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. A very happy Thursday, September 4th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who is jerseyed up and ready for the NFL season, Jerem Jordan.
I'm ready to go. I'm excited. Seahawks play the Niners in week one, which is a good one out of the gate. The rival. Can't wait. Of course, you know, Cowboys. How about them Cowboys?
How
they
about them
stink
Cowboys?
Against Micah
Trading
Parsons.
Micah Parsons.
I know, crazy. Against the Eagles, the defending champs, tonight. So can't wait. Tuesdays and Thursdays until Maction. There's nothing. But every other day we got football, baby.
How many Seahawks jerseys do you own?
You're about to find out on the show.
Oh, snap. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm wearing the Steve Largent kind of old school look here today.
That's probably my favorite. I don't care
it's
what
nice,
other ones
right?
you have. That one, because of the nostalgia and Steve Largent, like the all-time great in Seattle, that's probably my favorite.
One time I was at a Dave & Buster's. Don't ask why. I was hanging out. And there was a silent auction on a Steve Largent Seahawks helmet, and I put down my name, and then unbeknownst to me, I actually ended up winning it. You don't have to buy it. You could be like, I pass. But I was like, yeah, let's do it.
There's no buyer's remorse, right?
I have a Steve Largent signed Seahawks helmet, which is super cool.
Let's go. NFL season is upon us. All rise and shout. We've got some Cougar football discussing what's trending.
BYU matches up well with Stanford, and that's why I think it'll be a fun game.
I think BYU is going to show up in an even better way than they did Saturday because, hey, the competition goes up there.
I don't know how Stanford's going to score.
I'm optimistic that BYU goes out there and performs well, especially at home.
We are 2 days away from BYU football's Week 2 contest against Stanford. The Cougars opened as an 18-ish point favorite. That has now slid to 20.5.
Whoa!
Three touchdowns and basically three extra points BYU favored by against a notable program. So, Jerem, when you look at it, is that too big of a line and expectation for BYU to cover said line?
It is weird to see those two logos in a 20.5 for either team, right? Even if Stanford was in their heyday and BYU stunk, 20.5. It's the other way right now. Stanford trying to figure things out. Interim head coach, Andrew Luck, the new GM, 17 transfers. They had 14 the previous 4 years. They didn't embrace transfers until literally this year. BYU had like something like 26-31 2 years ago. It didn't work. They went 5-7. It takes time. UNC dealing with that, I think they had 70. It was one game, but still, you know, not a great showing against a Hawaii team who I don't think is that good. They went and got blasted against Arizona, who seems to be just meh as well. So transitive properties look a little weird there. Stanford's best quarterback is playing for BYU. One of their top receivers is playing for BYU. You have LJ Martin, who would be maybe the number one running back at Stanford if he had gone there. He decommits. He comes to BYU. He's the main guy for 2 years running into year three. It doesn't look good for Stanford. I do not think this is too big of a line to cover. I actually think BYU is going to put it on Stanford. I think they're going to beat Stanford by more than Utah beat UCLA, which I think is my number one goal for BYU this week. No, it's a bigger test for BYU than Portland State, no doubt. No one's questioning that. If you slow down Micah Ford, who went for a hundy, had a touchdown, 4.3 yards per carry against Hawaii, I think BYU's got a great chance to minimize that Stanford offense that did not look explosive in Honolulu. And as Riley Nelson said, and you heard a moment ago, how is Stanford going to score against that BYU defense?
Where's the offense?
Where's it going to come from? I think Stanford scores. I think they score multiple times. I just think BYU, honestly, puts up a 40-piece in this game. I'm excited to watch it.
My only question about that and limiting BYU's ability to score is how long can Stanford hold on to the ball? Can they bleed the clock? Can they get some hard first downs with Micah Ford at running back and prevent BYU from getting the ball? Because to me, that and turnovers are the only way they make this game even remotely interesting. I am with you. I don't think that's too big of a line. It totally feels like a 31-10 type game. 34-13. You expect 40 points. I hope BYU has enough possessions and take advantage of those possessions against a team that likes to ground and pound, because you have to think that Stanford feels like, okay, if we limit possessions and get a few turnovers, this is how we win that game.
Right. And they're not Army, Navy, Air Force, where they're going to run three downs and pass rarely. Sam Rash is a good tight end. They have some good receivers. They have talent. They're just trying to piece it together. And, you know, it's hard. It would be hard to invest as a recruit long-term in the program right now with an interim head coach. That's a difficult situation. They let go of Troy Taylor in March. March 31st, they hire Frank Reich. That's late in the game. He wasn't there for spring ball. I mean, it's tough. And you lose Bear Bachmeyer. You lose Tiger Bachmeyer. You lose guys. You bring in other guys. They have some talent, but it's not coming together quite yet. BYU's catching them at a good time. I would say if this is in November, maybe they're figuring some things out. But honestly, I think this is going to be another season where Stanford doesn't win five games. They haven't since 2018, Spence, which is weird. You look at that tree and you respect it because they've had some good teams the last several years. Not the last seven, but before that, I mean, Toby Gerhart, Christian McCaffrey, Andrew Luck, so on and so forth. Tons of tight ends, tons of linemen, tons of running backs. You respect the tree. Now, when they come in volleyball, I don't respect the tree because they've done some weird stuff with our men's volleyball team that I can't tell you on the air. But they've been a bane of BYU's recruiting existence a little bit.
And no longer.
Not anymore. There's a lot of Stanford dudes here. So I respect that logo, and I know BYU respects them. They say, hey, this is a better team than Portland State, obviously. It's an ACC team. It's a P4 game. We got to show out. But they're showing out more because they got to impress themselves, execute. They know the crowd's going to be rocking. Another sellout, by the way. Can't wait for that. So there are a million reasons for this to be interesting in different ways. Mitch Harper of KSL Sports.
It's historic.
How about this? Only the fifth time BYU has been a double-digit favorite over a power conference team since 98. That's a good poll by Mitch. And it's the largest one. Wow.
BYU has never been favored by more points than this in the last 27 years against a power conference opponent. Let that sink in.
And they went 4-0. They won all those games. Like, to not get upset is good. They went 4-0. Did they cover all of them?
No. I think only two.
Two of
them.
The four. Okay.
But 20.5. I mean, this is historic.
Normally, I remember, was it Sam Houston State? We were like, whoa, why is this line? It was super low. It was less than two scores or
and
something.
And it ended up being 14-0.
I know some of you hate this, but 17 plus. Give it to me.
You're ready to roll out 17
know,
plus.
When you did,
what have you realized what you've done?
Every time. It's not every time. No, it's not.
Jeremy, I kind of feel like Stanford's program, and I know the timelines are a little bit different here, but in the spirit of Silicon Valley.
Okay. Silicon Stanford, slopes here.
Stanford feels, at the current time, kind of like MySpace. It was incredible in its heyday.
In the heyday.
In its heyday. Yeah. There was nothing better. It was so cool. It was so ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Everybody had it.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, they got poached from. All of the geniuses at MySpace got poached to go to other companies like Twitter and Facebook. And then you're just left for dead. That's kind of what it feels like Stanford is right now. They've tried to hire in the right people. I think they've brought in some great people. But they have to rebrand. Like, MySpace is out. So how is Stanford going to rebrand? But it's going to be a while.
Did you watch the BlackBerry movie? Kind of similar to what happened with Apple and whatnot. So back in the day, when I was first at BYU, to be on Facebook, you had to be attached to a college. So I was good on Facebook. But I had a hair school girlfriend who did not. So then I joined MySpace. So I had both. Once we broke up, I did not use MySpace. Because she was not in MySpace. So there we go.
I hope that Stanford recovers, that they're a reputable program. I like it when Stanford is good. And let's be honest.
It's fun. Their academics are crazy high. Like Yale, all the Ivy League schools, they don't compete nationally for stuff. Like Duke is up there in terms of like the academic and athletics. BYU feels like it's always been a reputable academic institution, great business school and so on and so forth. And great athletics, but like Stanford and Duke are competing every year for the Sears Cup. You know, the
because
Learfield.
They're so good in every other sport.
Yes, and I'm glad that they didn't cut men's volleyball a couple years. They said they did, and then I think they got you know, some stuff happened behind the scenes where they're like, no, just kidding, we're keeping on this stuff. They have a powerful donors, right, and backing. So, yeah, I'm excited about this return from the 22 game where BYU played a great game.
Yeah.
Hinkley Ropati was awesome in that game. Wish he was there for BYU. By the way, no, just no word from the NCAA on Hinkley yet. Just haven't heard. It's not a no.
Still waiting.
They're just waiting.
Still waiting.
And you know that guy's in shape, ready to go.
BYU 89% chance to win, according to football, the ESPN Football Power Index.
There are a lot of numbers that are extremely smoky, and we believe them. We're not ignoring these, saying, no, this isn't one of those games where I'm like, man, Stanford could come in and pull off the upset. I just don't see it. I think this team is dialed in.
Yeah.
I think they listen to the coaches.
They're too well coached.
I think they're prepared well. I think they're super talented. I think BYU is going to have a nice win on Saturday.
The most winnable game percentage-wise remaining on the schedule, and it happens on Saturday against name-brand Stanford. Can BYU go out, flex, make a statement, kind of like Utah did against a name-brand UCLA last week?
Do that. I love that.
And I know some of you are saying, well, what tech company or social media company is BYU? I don't know, Qualtrics?
Good one. Good one. Tonight, the NFL season kicks off with the defending champs hosting the former home of Micah Parsons, Eagles versus Cowboys, as mentioned. So let's discuss our top five Cougars in the NFL storylines heading into the season. Number one, can Andy Reid and the Chiefs make it back to the Super Bowl?
Big Red. Is it a dynasty right now, Jerem? Are we calling the Chiefs a dynasty?
They've won three of the last six.
Is that good enough to call a dynasty? I feel like it is.
Yeah.
But that debate is still out there. If Andy Reid and the Chiefs get back to the Super Bowl and win it, then it's, I mean, you win 4-7. Come on.
Like, they've been to five of the last six.
Is that not good enough to call it a dynasty?
In the modern era, it's so hard to do that.
So I know that Travis Kelce is not what he once used to be.
Well, wait, does he not get engagement powers of some kind?
We'll see.
If there's dad strength a kid.
What is Patrick Mahomes, who is now a true veteran in that team? Can he stay
healthy?
He's
no Talon Alfrey, though, right?
That's right. You were paying attention.
I was. Talon likes it, by the way.
Yes, the true vet. Love Talon.
That's so funny.
Listen, whenever Andy has success, I'm always thrilled for him.
Yeah.
So happy.
Who doesn't like Andy Reid?
Because he's one of the best people in the world of sports.
Yeah.
Like, he's right at the top of the list.
Yeah.
I think that they have already eclipsed the dynasty plateau. They do it again. Oh, man. But I'm never going to doubt him. Like, the question is, can they make it back to the Super Bowl?
Why would we?
Yeah, they can make it back to the Super Bowl because they're bringing in a wealth of young speed around Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
And they're the Chiefs. You want to talk about well-coached? My goodness.
Snickers, chefs, all of it, you know? Yeah.
Great. Googly moogly.
For everything you've said. Give me some of them nuggies.
Shout out to Kingsley, who's starting at guard
Love
for
that.
The Chiefs.
Love that for him.
Had a little bit of a learning curve last
got
year.
Benched
got
early.
Benched.
Yep.
That's always hard, but
good for
he
him.
Has bounced back, and now he is the guy starting at left guard.
Congrats to him.
Let's go,
cool.
Kingsley. Yep. Number two. Well, the Chiefs played the 49ers in the Super Bowl not too long ago. Can Fred Warner maintain being the league's best linebacker?
1,000,000%. Why not? He continues to do it. At some point, he won't be. At some point, he'll slow down. But not this day.
And can he lead the 49ers back to the Super Bowl?
No. I hope they go 0-17. And they're going to lose week one. And then whenever they play again,
like a true Seahawks fan.
No, Fred's awesome. Niners can't be much worse than they were last year. They had a bunch of injuries, and Fred was still good. So, yeah, 54 is going to fly around. It's going to jump on top of people.
Yes.
Come on.
Fred is, he's like Missile Man, right?
Yes, he is.
That's the best way I can
Missile
explain.
Man. Sounds like a cheap superhero.
Superhero. Incredibles 4, Missile Man.
Missile. Where is my missile suit?
Yeah. Yes, he can maintain being the league's best linebacker. 49ers getting back to the Super Bowl? Man.
I don't see that one.
That's tough.
But I respect Kyle Shanahan as a head coach. And I will go back to a take that I had early on with Zach Wilson. If Zach hadn't had that incredible throw and pro day, maybe the Jets don't take him.
And he gets drafted by the 49ers.
And he goes by the Niners. And I think there's no Brock Purdy. I think Zach is the Brock Purdy
is
on the Niners. And his life is different. And it's Steve Young resurrected in that. I'm not saying he's like Super Bowl MVP. I'm saying in that BYU fans are the neutrals or with the Niners. There's so many Niner fans, yes. BYU fans, because of Steve Young. Now, they had other BYU players in with there too, but Steve is.
That Steve. NFL multiverse is a painful one.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting to see. What if the chips fell this way?
We'll talk about Zach in a moment. Number three, what is Puka Nacua's role with Devontae Adams now, Cooper Kupp on my Seahawks?
So it's interesting that I'm going to say this, but I really believe it. And it's crazy because he is with Devontae Adams. I still believe Puka Nacua is option number one for the Rams.
And he was with Cooper last year and, frankly, the year before.
Yes.
Because there were some injuries there. And so I don't think much changes. I think Puka continues on the trajectory he's on, which is tons of yards, tons of catches. Now his rookie year was incredible.
He sat out. He was injured for, I want to say 4 or 5 games last season. So you look at the numbers and you're like, well, why the dip? Why go from 105 catches to 79 and almost 1,500 yards to 990?
Yeah. He played 6 fewer games.
Okay, so it was 6. So I said 5. It was actually 6
his
fewer
per game
games.
Is actually probably higher than
when
it was.
When he came back, he was awesome again when he was healthy.
He played all 17. His yards per reception were down, but, he had more receptions per game, more yards per game last year. So there you go.
If you put him in healthy, then he's going to have 1,600 yards and probably 110 catches.
Just a stupid amount, which is exciting. Devontae Adams is in the later years of his career. Devontae is not the number one that he used to be. He's a clear good number two, though. Tutu Atwell is a good number three right there. That's a nice crew with Matthew Stafford.
The Rams have one of the two best receiving cores in the entire league.
It's pretty good. And again, it's in the NFC West. So
you got Fred Missileman Warner with the 49ers.
I root
Andy Dillon,
Puka
and the Rams.
But not the team, the Rams. Yeah.
Back to Zach Wilson, who is the declared backup quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. And he's behind Tua Tagovailoa, who notably has had his injury concerns. And it's been very public, the concern about his concussions.
Yeah.
How many starts will Zach Wilson have with the Miami Dolphins, if any at all?
I don't know. I don't want to guess at how many concussions Tua's going to have.
Well, hopefully it's not that.
I hope it's zero. I don't wish for a concussion on literally anybody. But I do think it's a good situation for him. Is Daryl Bevel not the quarterback's coach?
He certainly is.
That's
and
cool.
He wanted Zach in Miami to help resurrect Zach's career.
I love that. I think it's a good fit. I think the offense is suited for a guy like Zach. I think it's fun for him to live in Miami for a couple of years. And hopefully he gets a chance to do something, but not at the cost of someone. I'm not going to call for a concussion. I'm never going to do that.
Yes. Outside of being a starter somewhere else, what's the best situation for Zach right now in the NFL? I would argue that there is not a better backup situation than where he stands right now in Miami.
In what way?
Potential opportunity, and he's off the radar, but he's in a division that he knows well. So that if he is called up, then I feel like there won't be like this crazy acclimation period. Like, he knows the teams, the franchises. Yeah. He has
played
against
Miami.
Them.
Yeah.
So it feels like a solid spot for Zach based on familiarity and the opportunity for him to potentially play.
And oh, by the way, this is actually the first time in year, what, 5 now? Where he is going to be the backup the whole season primarily, we think. Because he was going to be that with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron tears his Achilles in game one.
Now are you the
guy
again?
Then he was the third string last year.
In Denver.
He wasn't sitting there as the next guy to come in, I believe, right? He wasn't the backup. That was Jarrett Stidham.
It was Jarrett Stidham.
So this is the first time he's one play away, but it's a different situation for him. Not only location, but what his actual role is on the team. He's never been the number two for the whole season. And maybe he won't be. We don't. The reality is we're not calling for a concussion for Tua. We never would. But he has been hurt enough to make you think that Zach probably gets an opportunity to play a little bit.
You need two quarterbacks in the NFL that are capable of being your starter, just like you do in college, if not more.
And oh, by the way, it's two dudes that are either from Hawaii or are Hawaiian.
Oh, because of the Tua-Zach connection.
Shout out, Mike.
That's right.
Hawaiian.
Maybe San Francisco as the backup would rival something like being in Miami.
Yes, because you're with Kyle. And
you're with Kyle Shanahan, which you pointed out, like, oh, in that multiverse, that would have been a fantastic coach-player marriage.
Yes, I wouldn't bring up my Seahawks because I think Jalen Milroe is the future. Mm. And he's number 3 right now. He might be the backup, but Drew Locke's there. It's just, I don't know why. I'm excited to watch Jalen. It's going to be good. Okay, number five, last one. Is this Taysom Hill's final year in New Orleans?
I believe it is.
Last year of the contract.
I think that he is done in New Orleans. I don't know if he's done playing football, per se, after the contract is up in New Orleans.
By the way, just to our audience, how old do you think he is? Spencer, don't say, but I'm just going to give you something. Think. How old do you think Taysom Hill is right now? He's 35.
Yep.
He is an old NFL player now, Spence.
He's older than Kyle Van Noy. And Kyle made jokes about being the old man in Baltimore,
yes.
Right? Taysom's a Kyle full year older than Kyle.
Kyle didn't have the mish. You know, he did have a four-year career, but, you know, Taysom had the longevity here, you know, the 5 years. So, yeah.
35 years old, running still like a deer,
which
is incredible.
I know he's on the pup list, but, like, he's still got it.
I think it's his final year. But, again, I believe that there will be a suitor or two, maybe in Denver, because there lies Sean Payton. And he knows how special Taysom Hill is, and he coached him for years. He was the man that wanted Taysom Hill when the Packers cut him as an undrafted free agent and put him right on the 53-man roster and said, no, you're on the team. Forget practice. You're our guy.
By the way, making $10 million this year, Taysom, congrats. The most he made was 12.
Amazing.
21.
Good for him.
Career salary. What are you thinking for
his career salary?
Career salary. Do you want me to give you an over-under, or you just guess?
I'm just going to guess. Okay, I'm pushing. I'm going to go, in the spirit of you wearing an 80 jersey, I'm going to go 80 million.
He's working on it. 62.67.
Okay. Good for Taysom. Yeah, incredible.
That's awesome.
Don't be surprised if he gets a call from Denver and Sean Payton, once that New Orleans contract is up, says, hey.
It's up after this year.
Let's run it back one more time. Yep. You think Sean Payton can find a role for Taysom Hill in Denver and a team that's getting better and in a hurry? You bet.
He's unrestricted after this year.
Let's go.
He's probably out of New Orleans.
Our question of the day, which Cougar in the NFL storyline will you be following the closest this season? At Gen X, BYU fan on X says, with Tua's injury history, I am interested to see if Zach Wilson may create a Wally Pipp moment for him.
Well, people don't know what Wally Pipp did on the field.
Got
people
Wally
know
Pipped.
Who Tua is from Alabama, for sure.
Yes.
And that the Dolphins don't win when it's cold. That thing still exists. Like, when they get to the playoffs, it's like, below a certain temperature, they're this record. It's super weird.
What? It's now temperatures with BYU at start times. Right?
Yeah, it's BYU. 29-4 in the last 33 night games.
Okay.
For Miami, I'm serious. It's a temperature thing where if it's too cold, they don't perform well.
Okay, so
remember when they played the Packers in the playoffs a couple years ago? It's like 5 degrees.
A little bit of history. For those who don't know who Wally Pipp is, Wally Pipp was a Major League Baseball player that played, I want to say, from like around 1915 to like the late 20s in the heyday of the New York Yankees' rise. Well, he got benched in place of Lou Gehrig.
Who then played for the next 88 years.
And then Lou Gehrig was the man who he was the original Iron Man before Cal Ripken broke it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, who was the guy before Cal Ripken? I want to know that. Who was the guy that Cal replaced at short?
Yeah. Hey, your chance is coming, buddy.
He's like, my name's Wally Johnson. Dang it.
2,500 games later.
See ya.
Oh, incredible.
See ya.
We'll see if Zach gets his moment. Okay, at TJY_24 on Instagram says, Puka Nakua being the Rams wide receiver one. We talked about that with Devontae Adams. Yeah.
Frankly, he has been since his rookie year. I know Cooper was the number one option, but the actual number one was.
All right, Jeremy, take the next one.
At Rowdy and the Rock on X. The best MLB in the league, middle linebacker, all pro Fred Warner, go Niners jam. No, I regret reading that sentence. And I will now excuse myself. X, Facebook, Instagram, weigh in. Unless your name's at Rowdy in the Rock.
I was calculating why you needed to read that one.
I'm Ron Burgundy. Called Football Zone on Twitter put out its inaugural top 10 ranking of D1 cat teams.
Mm. Okay.
What is this
called? All right, the big cats.
BYU fourth, Penn State, LSU, Clemson ahead, Auburn, Mizzou, Memphis, Pitt, Texas State, if you didn't know that logo, and Kansas State round out the top 10. The question I've been asked to ask is, is this disrespect to BYU?
Oh, the disrespect! Oh,
the cat!
Now, if this was a list about mascots, then I'd be fired up!
I'd
be very angry.
But those cats should be above BYU, should they not?
Yes.
I think that's fair.
In the spirit of fair feline fodder, Jerem.
Oh, look at you, alliteration We need
to appreciate the fact that those three teams above BYU, yeah, in terms of current team construct and where they stand in the national spotlight, they deserve to be where they are.
Yeah, Auburn, Mizzou, Memphis. By the way, border war this week. Mizzou, Kansas.
Yes.
Can't wait.
Yes, and Iowa State's going to be a great game.
Cy-Hawk!
Too.
I love that. Those are fun
some rivalry
games, right?
Games.
Yeah. No disrespect. That's all good.
Number four is just
when I think of Pitt, I don't actually think of Panthers. I just think of
Pitt.
Pitt. I don't know. Their brand is so strong in that first one. Game day coverage.
I think of Jerome Lane.
Send it in, Jerome! Game day coverage Saturday for BYU Stanford starts at 8 Eastern. BYU Sports Nation Game Day. Cougar pregame live on BYU TV, BYU Radio at 8. 10:15 Eastern, late one, BYU and Stanford on ESPN and BYU Radio. Postgame coverage on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Watch Spencer do a lot of interviews.
Yep.
It's coming up Saturday night.
The team that should feel really disrespected in that list is Kansas State because they're 10 of 10. Yikes.
Well, they're 11 in the Big 12.
Oh. Up next, former BYU and NFL linebacker Brady Papinga discusses his biggest Cougars in the NFL storylines. And does he think the 20.5 point line is too big? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Has picked up where they left off last year.
And Isaiah Glasker, the heat-seeking missile, and it's blocked. And the Cougars have the football. Jack Kelly, he's going to score! Logan Latuhi says, Fumble by Andre Miller, it's loose. Recovered by BYU.
I feel like I'm watching an NFL defense with everything they do.
We're live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan, who has changed wardrobe during the commercial break and is now rocking a lime green Bobby Wagner Seattle Seahawks jersey.
Listen, it's not often I'm going to wear a Utah State Aggies jersey on this program, but here we are today. Yeah, I got this one on a Thursday night against the Rams a few years ago.
There's a story behind every jersey.
I think so. Two of them, not really, where I just bought. But, yeah, and many of them are on other teams. Bobby's on the Commanders now.
How do you feel about the lime green getup, like top to bottom? Are you a fan as a Seahawks fan?
Yeah,
like when they go all
be.
Lime green?
I have to be, as a Mariners Seahawks guy, a fan of teal and bright lime green.
Mm.
Yeah.
How do you
this
split
is the
your
color rush series?
How do you split your football viewing between NFL and college on a Thursday night? Like, does the NFL
typically
now take over?
The NFL
over,
game is
over?
Better.
Okay.
It depends on the matchup, but also.
Wasn't always great on Thursday night in the NFL.
No, it wasn't.
Ask Al Michaels.
Yes, and Al's funny. Kirk is good. Yeah, it's all good.
Joining us now, a man who understands a thing or two about the NFL and college football because he played in both. Former BYU linebacker and NFL standout Brady Papinga is back
Brady.
On the program. Brady, how
What's
are
up,
you today?
What's up, fellas? Good to join the show. You guys looking good in Bengals and then the Seahawks.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep. Way to be.
We're excited about the season. Which was your favorite NFL team that you played for?
Well, there's one up in the, I would call it the northern part of the United States, where the tundra is frozen, where all of a sudden the mist in the air starts to bite back in late November. Green Bay.
Heck
Green
yeah,
Bay
dude.
Is such a beautiful place, man. It's got a special place in my heart. You know, it's one of the best fan bases in all of sports. It would be Green Bay by quite a few.
Yes, sir. And that's understandable. No doubt about it, Brady. As you assess the different BYU players that are currently in the NFL, and there are some notable names, right? We just went through a bunch of them in the opening segment. Fred Warner, notably. Obviously, Andy Reid is a head coach. He's got Kingsley Suamataia on the Chiefs. Zach Wilson now in Miami. Taysom Hill on the pup list right now, but we expect he'll be back at some point. Puka Nacua and the Rams. Which NFL player storyline has your attention the most as it pertains to BYU in the NFL?
Did you say Kyle Van Noy? I don't know if you caught
Then there's Kyle Van Noy, but and the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah. He's coming off his best season ever at the age of 33 or 34 or however old he is.
Yeah. Yeah. Kyle's just he has a knack to play ball, to make plays. He's slippery. You know, and then he just took advantage of the new CBA, which is there's no limit on practice squad players. But I'm very curious about Taysom Hill. If you guys have ever followed me on social media, if you follow anything I say, I am very, very, I would say, outspoken about Taysom, especially when it has to do with his abilities as a quarterback. And you have a quarterback room in New Orleans right now that is about as empty as it gets. We're talking about they are like dying of starvation. in terms of not having a quarterback that's viable. Their starting quarterback, he hasn't even won an NFL game to my recollection, you know, and he got Taysom Hill in his 9 starts. He's 7-2. He's got experience. And yeah, we haven't even seen what he can do with an offense that's actually built around his skill set. So I'm very intrigued by that, because by the time he gets back off the PUP list, things are going to be made very clear there, because I'd imagine in New Orleans, the biggest thing is let's see these young guys play. Let's throw them to the wolves a little bit, and we're going to let them either sink or swim. And, you know, I'm not sure there's going to be much swimming there. And therefore, there may be a little bit of a space for Taysom to come in, get an opportunity to play the position that I think is his best position as long as the scheme fits. And so that's the one place that I kind of keep my left eye on as the season rolls on and see what goes on. And he's even said as much. He says, hey, you know what? I've always had a goal to play quarterback in the NFL and to prove myself in that position. So who knows? He may get that opportunity with Kellen Moore there. They're pretty much brothers, you know, about the same age. I think they probably went to high school around the same time with each other in Idaho. Maybe Taysom's a little older. But at any rate, you know, I think Kellen Moore may be prudent for him when Taysom's eligible to play to maybe look at him at playing quarterback. And I hope that happens, because that's the one thing I just want to see before he retires. I want to see Taysom play quarterback in a scheme that fits him, and let's see what happens. And no. The scheme he was in with Sean Payton did not fit him, okay? You don't put him under center, have him turn the back to the defense, and then do a little, you know, play action pass and turn around. That's not Taysom's scheme. Put him in, you know, shotgun, put him in the, you know, those gun positions. Oh, yeah, basically look at the offense that the Baltimore Ravens have formed around Lamar Jackson. Just put him in that offense, and let's see what happens. And at that point, I can let Taysom go off into the sunset, you know, and kind of be satisfied with his career. But that's the storyline for me every year. I want to see it. Come on. Give it to us, Kellen Moore.
That's an
give
interesting one.
We want to see it.
Kellen's a member of the church. They could both be on the you know, young men's presidency or something in the ward, and could be like, you didn't play me again. Here we are on a Wednesday night at young men's or whatever. Probably a little busy in season. Just kidding. Okay, BYU and Stanford. The line is 20.5. Stanford's not the same Stanford they've been. BYU looked good against an inferior opponent. They may look like an inferior opponent. What do you expect Saturday night between the Cougars and Cardinal?
Well, the Stanford's really good. They're not as good as their score reflected in the first game. I'm going to put it that way. And that's because of inconsistencies at the quarterback position. But if you're going to see their offensive line trot out in the huddle, you're going to be impressed. They're big. They're one of the more athletic offensive line in terms of size to athletic or movement skills that I've seen. And at least the last, because this is about 2 years, I've been really in-depthly studying college football, as I helped Kelly out a little bit, helped the team out. So they got athleticism, they got size, they got tight ends, they got those kind of tweener bodies, which is typical Stanford. And then they're going to play the power football game, which I believe plays pretty much into the kind of style that we want to play both offensively and defensively. So we got to come to play. These guys are capable. These guys could beat us. All it takes is a quarterback playing a little bit more clean. It always is a challenge, and I don't care if you're leaving from California or any other state in the U.S. to fly to the islands and play in that humidity, play kind of out of your comfort zone. I know it's only a 3-hour time difference with those guys up in Palo Altos, but still, it's a situation to where it's like I don't think you can judge that game and say this is what Stanford is. I just look at their personnel and I'm impressed. I mean, their backs run hard, they're athletic, they have skilled position players that are good, that can break out. And like I said, it pretty much just comes down to the quarterback. Can he become more consistent? Can he be more decisive in his decision making? And, you know, Frank Rick runs an NFL-style offense, so it kind of makes sense that you're going to have this learning curve in the first few games, and we got to still make it hard on him. You know, the advantage that we have as a defense is that's going to be hard for him to do. We are going to keep him constantly guessing after the snap, or at least anticipating and making decisions post-snap, and that just increases the probabilities that things are going to break down. And that's just our defense. Our defense is multiple. We're going to put a lot of different fronts, coverages, mixing pressures in there. We're going to have a lot of, like, drop eight, a lot of rush six that looks like drop eight. We got what we call simulated pressure. So we're gonna test him. And that's, to me, what it comes down to in this game. It comes down to the quarterback being able to be more consistent than he was against Hawaii. And if he is, it's going to be tough. And if he's not, we're going to win pretty handily.
You're talking about Ben Gulbranson. And then I want to go back to something you said. So you feel like Stanford could come in here and win this game?
Absolutely, they're a capable team. Like I said, and to me, the indicators have to do with the front guys, the offensive and defensive line. They got both players across the board in their front seven. And then, like I said, offensive line wise, they got players, and then their tight ends. They run a lot of what they call 13 personnel, which is one back, three tight ends. Their tight ends can catch the ball. They're dual threats. They can catch and they can block, and they're physical. And like I said, their backs are good too. So this is not a team that's like coming in and, you know, we should just run away with it. We're going to have to execute at a high level. We're going to have to play well. And then ultimately it comes down to our quarterback too. He's got to continue to be a good decision maker. He's got to continue to be consistent, and he's got to continue to play on time in the passing game. And continue to keep defenses honest in that regard, because we are going to run a pound football on these guys. I think that's an identity that Roderick's wanted to have here for the time he's been here. He's always wants to lean, and Kalani too. They want to lean on their opponent, wear them out, put the defense in proper positions and winnable positions. And so, but yeah, I mean, this is a good team. When I watched the film against Hawaii, I was thinking there's no way they lost this game. And then as you continue to watch the game, you're like, okay, I get why they lost the game. You know, the quarterback had some struggles. And ultimately, they kind of ran out of gas, in my opinion, which that's tough in Hawaii because of the humidity, the difference in climate. Even you could say the time change, but again, I don't think going west to east is a huge deal. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking at them and I'm like, these guys are good. Like they're fully capable of beating us if we don't play our best.
He was a Super Bowl champion with the Green Bay Packers back in 2008, and a former BYU football stand-up. Brady Papinga is on BYU Sports Nation. Speaking about Bear Bachmeier and the BYU offense, Brady, what's something that maybe you didn't see BYU do against Portland State, or even have the opportunity to do against Portland State, that you're hoping to see against Stanford?
Well, how about have their first team play beyond the first half? That would be really exciting.
Yep.
As we could gain some momentum. And like I said, that power running style offense, that's really where it gets effective, is in the second half where guys start to wear out. But I mean, look, Bear was excellent in that first game. And I'm not trying to say a hot take here. I mean, this is just the realities. I feel far more confident with him at quarterback than I do with Jake. And that's because Jake, to me, was kind of a wild card, man. You just didn't know if he's going to underthrow a fade route in the corner of the end zone, or if he's going to throw wildly out to the slot receiver and have it return for a 99-yard touchdown like he did against Oklahoma. You just don't know. It almost seemed like, you know, you're kind of sitting on pins and needles of what he may or may not do, whereas Bear is consistent and efficient. And what I like too is his size. I like that he can pound the ball, and you saw it in his. And I know Portland State, you know, they have their challenges, athletically, talent wise, but the first guy never was a factor in terms of a tackler on Bear. Now that may change. You know, Stanford's got better athletes, better football players than Portland State does. But that's the thing that I was hoping to see, and we saw it against Portland State when the tackling was live, is that Bear can't be brought down in most cases by one guy. And he's got both shake, which is the ability to make a defender miss, and he's got both power, where he can run through tackles, he can run through arm tackles. You gotta butt him up. You can't just expect to go and, you know, trip him up. You gotta really get in thick on him and stop his momentum, or else he's gonna run through you. And that, to me, is phenomenal, because you complement that and his ability to throw. I don't think people have talked about it enough. This guy can throw the ball. The key, though, is he's got to continue to be efficient. And the one thing that he struggles with, and all newcomers, freshmen struggle with, is being on time. Meaning that back foot on your drop, when it hits, you got to get it out. You got to go. There are times that, you know, we didn't see much of Portland State, but just watching him, and it's, again, this is what young quarterbacks do, where they kind of hold on to the ball, pat the ball. The rush is going to get to you. Coverage is going to do what it's going to do. And so if he can stay away from those things, we're going to be in good shape on Saturday. But I like Bear. I think the upside with him is by far greater than what we've seen, you know, with Jake over the last couple of years. And so in some respects, this is a huge upgrade. The only thing that we're not getting is that experience that Jake has, but I think that's going to be countered with Bear's decision-making ability, then also his size and ability to wear out a defense with a power running attack.
That is a strong opinion. That's what Brady Papinga brings to the program. Kelly Papinga, your brother, has become the greatest special teams coordinator in America. I say that with extreme bias, but
and humility.
Every week there's something incredible. There really is. And last week it was a blocked field goal and a return for a touchdown for the first time in 24 years in BYU history. It was also a BYU tying 56-yard field goal. There was a fumble too. Let's just ignore that. But every week, it feels like there's something. What has gone into this? Because BYU special teams truly is named the exact thing it should be. It's special.
Yeah, well, you know, the makeup of the team is really conducive for a good special teams unit. And that's because these guys overall. And I've had a really cool perspective of being inside with them, kind of like an embedded reporter, even though I don't really report. I just kind of talk to the media and give my two cents wherever I you know, can. And Kwani's cool with it. You know, that's part of our relationship. I've been giving him kind of feedback ever since I took the job. Not to say he's taking it all, but he's heard from me, you know, and I continue to talk to him. But he's open to it, which I find that to be really cool. But having been in there, that's to me what has stood out the most about the group of guys that they have that make up BYU football. They're humble, they're athletic, they try hard. I mean, the practice I was at a couple weeks ago, just to paint the picture for you, they had a hard padded practice on Wednesday. This is like in the thick of training camp, right? On Thursday, they had a non-padded practice. No, excuse me, it was the opposite. Thursday was the padded practice. Friday, they had a non-padded practice. And then Saturday, they had their scrimmage. And I just know human nature, because I've been in these situations so many times, that Friday, where you're non-padded practice, you just got off of a padded practice on Thursday, getting ready for scrimmage, most of the time, the team is going to come out. It's going to be a little bit tentative. It's going to be kind of like, you know, resting from the previous day, getting themselves ready for the next day, just getting through it. Not these guys. I mean, you had to basically pull these guys back. You know, I remember Kelly, I don't remember the player. There's one guy just like in a special teams drill, runs down and blows up his teammate. And Kelly yells to this dude, like, I wish I could name him because it was so awesome, because that's what you want. You want your coach to pull you back more than have to get you going. And Kelly just yells, hey, to whichever play it is, it's not that kind of drill, man. It's not. I was like, that is so good, because it's like you want to pull these guys back. And on the practice, that human nature would say that they're going to actually be the opposite, where you're going to have to kind of light a fire up them, and it wasn't the case. And so to me, that's the kind of mentality that is conducive to excellent special teams. And then you cannot underestimate the guys around Kelly. You know, Jay, I mean, he's been, you know, part of special teams his whole career. He's had a wonderful influence on Kelly, both in the defensive room and also in special teams. But then at the end of the day, we just can't – you got to give credit where credit's due. Kelly, when you said he's one of the best special teams coaches in the country, I don't think that's – up until this point, that's really debatable. I'd say he is the best special teams coach in the country. I'm not saying that because he's my brother. I mean, just telling you straight up. He's one of the top coaches, period, in the country. And he's got an amazing way to connect with his players. He's a wonderful teacher, which that's the number one thing that people don't realize goes into coaching, right? You got to teach people. You just don't say, hey, go tackle the ball. No, you don't say that. You actually have to teach them the process. And then it has to be within the structure of the scheme. And then there's nuances, little changes that happen depending on checks, depending on formations, depending on motions. And so and Kelly does as good of a job as I've seen. Again, I've been embedded with him, of any coach that I've been around, to be able to convey those principles, teach them, and have them ultimately implemented. And then on top of it, he's a heck of a recruiter. I mean, you know, couple him again with Jay and Justin and Kalani, I mean, they've really brought in an excellent group of defenders. You know, this is the best. You know, offensively, too, they're really good. But I just from a defensive perspective, because I've studied them, this is the best physically talented defense by leaps and bounds BYU's ever had. I think the most close to this is when they had Ziggy, Kyle, and Bronson. I think that was like 2011, 12, yep. 10 or something right around there. But the secondary wasn't like what we have. You know, the off-the-ball linebackers are nothing like what we have with Lasker and Jack. And so you just look at, you know, recruiting, teaching, motivating, and then being able to organize and implement special teams like Kelly does, man, it's you couldn't tell me I could it'd be almost hard to find a coach that checks all those boxes as Kelly does.
Great stuff, Brady. We appreciate the time. Look forward to BYU and Stanford. Let's do it again soon.
All right, guys. Go Cougs.
You got it.
Thanks, Brady.
Brady Papinga back on BYU Sports Nation.
I believe it was Cannon DeVries who was excited in that special teams rep. I heard a story. I think it was Cannon. Northern Colorado taking on number 18 BYU women's volleyball tonight, 8 Eastern, an hour earlier than kind of normal. ESPN Plus, we got you.
After the break, offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick on how Bear Bachmeier and the BYU offense will look to build off the Portland State game. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
I am Spencer, he is Jerem. Let's roll out your daily headlines.
BYU football continues preparation for Stanford coming up Saturday night at LaBelle Edwards Stadium. Offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick explains how Bear Bachmeier can build off last week's performance.
Continue doing his job, just do more of the same. You know, obviously he's going to have to throw more than 11 times to win this game. We're playing a quality opponent that we have a lot of respect for. And so if he can just take another step forward, but doesn't need to do anything special, just keep doing what he did last game, just a little bit bigger sample size this game.
Cougars a 20.5-point favorite over the Cardinal pregame on BYU TV, BYU Radio, 8 Eastern, Saturday night.
18th ranked BYU women's volleyball hosts Northern Colorado in the first of three matches this weekend as part of BYU's Nike Invitational. BYU will take on Wichita State tomorrow and Incarnate Word on Saturday. Coverage for tonight's match begins at 8 Eastern on ESPN+. Still on the way, Jerem speaks with BYU wide receiver Cody Hagan about the tornado reverse touchdown and his thoughts on Stanford's defense. This is BYUSN.
Back to BYU Sports Nation. I'm Jerem Jordan alongside Spencer Linton, who is just here so he won't get fined. Receiver Cody Hagan scored a 57-yard end-around, some called a tornado reverse against Portland State, which is a great showcase of his excellent track speed. The former Utah Gatorade Player of the Year is hard to catch, but we did so yesterday after practice. All right, Cody, what was it like to score a touchdown at Lavelle Edwards Stadium? I'm sure you've dreamed of that moment.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's the best. Dream of it. It's better when it's at home. You got the whole fans, all the whole crowd roaring, but it was great.
When that play is called and you're in the huddle, Bruce Mitchell told me, the Bear said, "All right, boys, this is a touchdown." Did you feel right then? You're like, "Yeah, it is going to be a touchdown."
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure, for sure. And even in practice, every time we called it, he was saying the same thing in the huddle. JoJo has a block when he fakes a motion. We knew since the beginning it was going to be a touchdown, so we had good confidence, and everyone blocked really well, so it was fun.
When that play is called, does your heart rate start to elevate a little bit, knowing you're getting the rock?
Yeah, you just get excited. Definitely hearts racing a little bit more. You're just excited to make a play, make something happen. So it was good, though. It was fun.
When did you realize you were going to score?
Ooh. Obviously, you're confident you're going to score the whole time, but I'd say right as I turned the corner and everyone blocked really well and there was really no one there, I'd say right about then. Right as I got to line of scrimmage, we knew we were going to score. So
it's nice when Bruce, Andrew, and Carson are out there in front of you, right?
Yeah, JoJo, Bruce, Andrew, Carson, all of them were just blocking everyone. There was no one to even touch me, so it was great.
Awesome. Then you had two catches for 35. What's it like to get involved in the passing game a little more after three catches a year ago? You had two in the first game.
Yeah, it felt really good just to get a groove, kind of fill it out, because obviously it's a different level in college, but just excited to be able to be more involved and make plays in this offense.
Cole got in at quarterback, your brother, and almost scored. Did you give him? Were you excited about him? Did you give him a hard time that he didn't finish it off?
More like just gave him crap for not finishing, for finishing the touchdown off.
That's what I thought would happen. Offensively, as a group, units 1 through 2, 3, 4, how'd you guys feel you performed? Because 600 yards and nearly 70 points is pretty good.
Yeah, we're really excited about everything. We didn't have too many missed assignments, so we're excited. We're excited to play Stanford this week.
Talking to Cody Hagan on BYU Sports Nation. Is it hard not to lose yourself in the energy in the moment? Because that place was rocking Saturday.
Yeah, you know, I think you'd be surprised. When you're out there playing, sometimes you don't really hear anything. You're kind of just locked in on the plays, the assignment. So you definitely feel the energy for sure. It's a great atmosphere. But sometimes you're just locked in. You don't really hear much outside noise.
How do you hear what you need to hear then? Because you're supposed to hear guys on your team, but like nobody else, right?
What's nice is a lot of times it's just like signals, so you don't need to really use our ears. You just look to see what it is. But definitely when we huddle sometimes, you got to listen. You really got to focus on Bear's voice or whoever's talking.
How is his voice as a freshman? Because he's fresh out of high school. He's the guy now. How did he command the offense?
Great leader. We're really excited to have him and just keep getting more comfortable, and we'll get more in sync with him. But really excited to have him. Great leader, great command.
Talk to me about the prep for Stanford and the elevated competition this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, we know it's going to be a better game for sure. And so obviously elevated game, elevated focus this week. So we're fine-tuning right now. We're dialing up a game plan. Coach A-Rod and the other coaches are just putting us in the right situation. So we're real excited.
BYU is 29-4 in its last 33 night games. What is it about night games in that stadium?
It's rocking. I saw a little clip of some other players at the Big 12 conference from what they were saying, their worst stadium to play at, and they were all saying night game at BYU, fourth quarter, rocking. So it's a different atmosphere. Everyone gets real excited.
Cody, I appreciate the time. Best of luck to you, and may you continue to have that speed Saturday night.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
NFL storyline, will you be following the closest this season? More responses to our question of the day on the way. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back with our question of the day. Which BYU in the NFL storyline will you be following the closest this season? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory, from at PR Lacey on X says, y'all haven't even mentioned Tyler Thor Hammer Algier.
Yeah, dude.
He's definitely one to watch again this year.
Can't wait to watch him.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Start of the NFL season, we're back, baby.
But thanks to today's guests, Brady Papinga and Cody Hagan.
Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer, and a final shout out to Chris Brooks. And don't forget BYU Volleyball tonight on ESPN+. Go Cougs.